Good morning, everyone. We want to thank you for listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Be assured that we appreciate that. And we're very thankful for your prayers for these broadcasts, for this outreach from our congregation. We want to remind you that our testimony month continues tonight at 6:30. The Reverend Alan Smiley, the minister of our Ballygown congregation, will give his testimony. So do listen into the broadcast tonight, and pray that the Lord will speak through it, even to the saving of souls. The final testimony of the month will be next Sabbath evening, again at 6:30, and that will be given by our good sister, Miss Margaret Russell, who has spent a lifetime labouring for the Lord in the land of Kenya. So pray the Lord will use that, even to speak to some of our young people about surrendering their life to full-time service. Just remind you again of the radio broadcasts that go out every week. That's on Radio Star Country. It's every Wednesday afternoon at 3:00 on 981 medium wave. So if you can listen in to those radio broadcasts, and we would appreciate your help just in advertising them, making them as widely known as possible. We invite you to take the scriptures. We're turning in the Word of God to the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah. It's the chapter 5. There's just a short reading in the middle of that chapter. We're beginning at verse 14. Nehemiah 5, verse 14, and reading together down to the end of verse 17. So let's hear the Word of the Lord. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. So we're just closing the reading there, the end of verse 17, and we pray the Lord will bless to every heart thus the reading of his word. We're going to take a moment just to pray. We want to know the Lord's power. We want to know utterance. We want the message to be a word in season to all that hear it. We pray it'll be a word in season at this time. So let's just pray together. Father, we lift our hearts to thee in prayer. We're glad of the privilege that we can enter into your presence. We just cry, come and help us. We rejoice that we can say that our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. We look back, Father, in this week, thankful for your faithfulness, thankful for your care and your provision. And as we look out onto this new week, we're praying, Father, that you'll be with us. We ask that you'll come and lead the way. Bless every outreach of our church at this time. Bless, Father, the broadcasts as they're going out all around the world. We pray that you'll use them. Thank you for how they have been a blessing to many. And we thank you, Father, even for reports that we're receiving of how you're using these broadcasts. Remember the radio broadcasts too that go out from Radio Star Country. We thank you for that open door. We pray, Father, that you'll use it. We pray that you'll speak through it, especially to the lost. May it be the means of bringing many to Christ. So, Father, hear our cries. We just ask, come and stand with us now. Give us help in the ministry of your word. And we pray, Father, that we'll praise thee to guide us in our words and guide us in our thoughts at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The verse that we want to meditate upon in our Bible study this morning is the verse 15 of the passage that we've just read from Nehemiah 5. The 15th verse is the words right at the end of the verse, especially, that I want to emphasize and impress upon your hearts, where Nehemiah says, "But so did not I, because of the fear of God." The theme or the subject we want to speak upon, I believe it's a timely subject in these days. The theme is the fear that is missing at this time of a pandemic. The fear that is missing at this time of a pandemic. Many of you will be familiar with Duncan Campbell, with his life and ministry, especially the way the Lord used him in the Isle of Lewis in the great revival that came upon that island. Whenever Duncan Campbell arrived for the first time on the island of Lewis, an elder asked him this question: "Are you walking with God?" And brethren and sisters, that's a very good question for all of us, especially in these days of crisis. Are you walking with God? Whenever Duncan Campbell heard that question, he knew that these men meant business, and they meant business for God. He thought for a moment or two, and then he gave this reply. He said, "I think I can say this, that I fear God." One of the elders looked back at him and he said, "If you fear God, that will do." And that's what I want to emphasize to you, brethren and sisters, at the outset of our Bible study today. Duncan Campbell was a God-fearing man. And so was Nehemiah, the man whose story is told in this book. This was one of the characteristics of his life. Think again of the words of Nehemiah as they're found in our text. "But so did not I, because of the fear of God." God fearing. I wonder, does that describe you? Does that describe your home, your whole family? Sadly, there is little fear of God in our land. There's little fear of God in society as a whole in these days in which we live. There is much fear of that, there's no doubt. It is evident all around us. There's much fear because of the virus and its effects. There is a fear of getting the virus. There's a fear of getting sick. There's a fear of death. But here is the fear that is missing today, men and women. The fear of God. Remember, the psalmist said, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." How pertinent, how relevant those words are. That describes our government. That describes our society. And it maybe even describes some who are listening to this message, to this broadcast today. A God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman is a rare thing in the day in which we live. Here, men and women, is what is missing in society. Here's what is missing in the land at this serious time in which we're found. The fear of God. And I want us to consider what we learn about the fear of God from the Lord's servant Nehemiah. You think, first of all, of the meaning of fearing God. Think of the words of our text, the fear of God. And ask the question for a moment, what does that phrase actually mean? Can I point out that it occurs over 300 times in the Bible? This is something that God has spoken about many times. So what does it mean? What does it refer to when the Bible actually states the fear of God? Well, let me say that it doesn't mean that you're afraid of God, as you would be afraid of an enemy, as you would be afraid of danger. The sort of fear when you run away and hide. That's not what the Bible is speaking of when it talks about the fear of God. The fear of God is to be in reverence. It's to be in awe of God. It is such a reverence that you are gripped by a holy desire to please the Lord in all that you do. And that is how Nehemiah lived. He was a man who was in absolute awe of God. Remember in chapter 1, in his prayer, he spoke about the great and terrible God. You might think that's a strange way to describe the Lord, to describe him as being terrible. Why did Nehemiah use that word? Well, it's because that word terrible means a God to be feared, a God to be reverenced, a God to be in awe of. And this is how Nehemiah lived. This is how Nehemiah labored for the Lord. He was a God-fearing man. And we can go a step further, men and women, because not only was Nehemiah a God-fearing man, but he belonged to a God-fearing family. Nehemiah had a brother. He's mentioned twice in this book of Nehemiah. His brother was called Hanani. And one of the very few things that we're told about Hanani is he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Isn't that interesting? Not only did Nehemiah fear the Lord, but so too did his brother. And it actually says above many. That indicates to us that some fear the Lord more than others. So here are two God-fearing men from the same God-fearing family. What a blessing that is. And I say to you today, we need more such men. We need more such families in our land, in our society today. Can I ask, is this true of you? Do you reverence the Lord in your life, your home, as Nehemiah did? Have you the desire to please the Lord in all that you do? Can I remind you how important this is? The book of Proverbs says, it's a well-known verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word beginning there means first. First in order, first in time. What Solomon is teaching us is that fearing God should have first place in your life, in your knowledge, in your study. That's how important it is, men and women. I want you to think as well of how inclusive the fear of God is. Solomon again writing, this time in the book of Ecclesiastes, the end of the book, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He's saying that the whole of life, the whole of your duty, the whole of your responsibility while you're here upon this earth can be summed up by these words, by this great truth, fearing God, being in awe of him, living in reverence of God. Can I ask, is this how you live? You live in fear of God? Does this principle govern every aspect of your life? That's the meaning of fearing God. Think as well of the marks of fearing God. Look again at our text. Nehemiah says, but so did not I because of the fear of God. Nehemiah is teaching us here in these words that if you fear God, it will influence your life. There will be marks. There will be evidence of that fear of God in your life. There are certain things that you will not do. You will not run with a crowd. You will not do what everybody else does. If you fear God, you will turn from sin, turn from what is wrong. You will live a holy life. If you think of Nehemiah at this time, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter, but as you think of Nehemiah, he didn't take advantage of his position, didn't take advantage of the people. He didn't exploit the situation for his own profit, for his own gain. Even though everybody else in Jerusalem, everybody else in the community was doing that at the time. That's the context of our verse here in this passage. Here's a man, men and women, who stood out from the crowd because of the fear of God in his life. You think of Job. The Bible says he feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschew means to abstain, to avoid from, or to abstain from. And the lesson, men and women, is because he feared God, Job abstained from evil. What a testimony that is. The question for you to consider in the light of that is, have you a testimony like that? I also want you to see that if you fear God, not only are there certain things that you will not do, but there are certain things that you will do. If you look at the beginning of verse 16, it says, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. We're told here that Nehemiah kept at the job. He kept at the job of building the walls of Jerusalem. And here's another mark of the God-fearing person. They will serve the Lord faithfully, serve the Lord continually, even when there's difficulties, even when there's problems, even when there's opposition. The person that fears God will turn from evil, and they will turn from evil so that they can give themselves completely to God and to laboring for the Lord in his work. You think of what the book of Hebrews says of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And that's the fear of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So here's another God-fearing man, the Lord's servant Noah. But even when he was scoffed at, even when he was ridiculed for laboring for the Lord in those days and living for the Lord, he kept at God's will and he kept at God's work. He built an ark to the saving of his house. And remember, brethren and sisters, there's no more important task than the saving of your house, the saving of your family. So I emphasize it to you. If you fear God, you'll keep at the job, whatever that job is that the Lord has given you to do. The marks of a God-fearing person. I can ask, is this the sort of person, the sort of Christian that you are? You abstain from evil and you're all out for God and his work and his service. There's one other thing I want to highlight to you from this passage from the life of Nehemiah about the fear of God. That's the merit of fearing God. I want to stress there is merit, there is blessing in fearing God. We learn that here, that there is an example of it in this chapter and in the life of God's servant Nehemiah. Look at verse 14, the previous verse. It tells us, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So we learn here, we're told, Nehemiah was the governor. He was the governor of Judah. He held high office in the land. And he had held that position for 12 years. Yet it's interesting, we're only told that fact now here in this particular passage in the context of the fear of God. For one thing, that says something about Nehemiah's humility. It was something that he boasted about. But the main point that I want to make is this. Because Nehemiah was a God-fearing man, God blessed him. God blessed his life. God honored his servant. This chapter is an example of the truth that them that honor me, I will honor. So I want you to see and to understand, brethren and sisters, there's great merit, there's great favor, there's great blessing in fearing the Lord. For example, God will bless you with protection. Think of the words of Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Lord watches over the God-fearing person. The Lord will also bless you with provision. Again, the Psalm 34 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That text was one of the great texts that encouraged George Mueller through his long life of faith and service for the Master. There is no want to them that fear him. Solomon again said in the book of Proverbs, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So it's clear, men and women, God provides abundantly for those that fear him. So let that be an encouragement to you today, to live a life like this, to live a life such as Nehemiah lived, to live a life in the fear of the Lord in all that you do. I want to say just in conclusion to you, W.E. Gladstone, one of the most famous prime ministers of our country back in the 19th century, W.E. Gladstone last visited Oxford, and whenever he was there for his final visit, he was asked this question as the interview was coming to a close. "Sir, are we to understand that you have no anxieties for the future? Are there no adverse signs?" He answered slowly, and this is what he said. "Yes, there is one thing that frightens me. The fear of God seems to be dying out in the minds of men." And how perceptive, how true that was then. But how much more true today, men and women. We look out on our land. We look out on our society. We see that the fear of God is dying out. And that's sad. That's something that causes us a grave concern. What we need in the days in which we live, these days of crisis, is more men, more politicians, more leaders like Nehemiah. We need more God-fearing men, more God-fearing women in our land. And I want to encourage you to pray to that end. So here's the fear that is missing in our land, in our society, in these days of pandemic. The fear of God. "But so did not I, because of the fear of God." I pray the Lord will use this message and speak to many hearts through it. Let's just bow together in prayer. Father, we settle our hearts and we thank you for thy word. We're saddened, Father, by the godless attitude that is so evident all around us. We want to pray, Father, that you would speak in our land. We ask thee earnestly to take away from us the fear of man. And we pray you'll bring again upon this land, and especially upon our leaders, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Your word says that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And Lord, we want to see our land turn from its evil ways. So we ask thee, Father, to have mercy upon us. Remember, Daniel besought thee, and he asked, Father, that you'd be pleased to grant mercies. And we would plead today, grant our land great mercies, even at this time. Bless this church and its witness. Remember every family of the congregation. Watch over them in these days. Just, Father, preserve their going out and coming in. And here these are cries. And now may the blessing of the triune God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.